believe it or not, database development, it feels a lot like a startup. There's no fixed hierarchies as such. You know, you can only do this, you must only do this or anything like that. You can very openly approach the development leads, so even up to the SVP levels. And actually, just as we started now, one of those guys was like, hey, let's talk while I'm driving into work. I was like, yeah, sorry, I'm busy right now.
You're listening to SimplyBlocks Cloud Commute Podcast, your weekly 20-minute podcast about cloud technologies, Kubernetes, security, sustainability, and more. Welcome back to the next episode of SimplyBlocks Cloud Commute Podcast. Today, I have a very special guest, like always. I never have non-special guests. But today, he's very special because he's from a very different background. Gerald, welcome. Maybe you can introduce yourself. Who are you? How did you happen to be here?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chris. Well, the how, I really don't know, but I'm Gerald. I'm a database product manager for Oracle Database, working for Oracle a bit over 12 years now in California, originally from Austria. And kind of had an interesting path that set me into database product management. Essentially, I was a developer who developed a lot of PL/SQL alongside other programming languages, building ERP systems with databases in the background, the Oracle Database. And eventually, that's how I ended up in product management for Oracle. The how I'm here, I think you found me. We have had a fun conversation about 5 years ago, as we know, when we met first at a conference, as it so often happens. You kindly reached out. And I think today is all about talking a bit about cloud native, database, and everything else we can come up with.
Exactly. Is it 5 years ago that we seen last time, or that we've seen?
No, that we've met. That we have met 5 years ago.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Are you sure it wasn't Java 1 somewhere way before that?
Well, we probably crossed paths, right? But I think it was the conference there where we both had the speaker dinner and got to exchange more than just like, hello, I'm so and so.
All right, that's fair. Well, you said you're working for Oracle. I think Oracle doesn't really need any introduction. Probably everyone listening in knows what Oracle is, but maybe you can share. You said you're a product manager for the database department. So what is that like? I mean, it's special, or it's different from the typical audience that are, or from the typical guests that I have. So how is the life of a product manager?
Yeah, I think so. What I particularly like about Oracle product management, or especially in database, obviously different lines of business or inside Oracle may operate differently. It's a job with a lot of facets. So, you know, the typical kind of product management job, the way how it was described to me was, well, you know, you gather customer requirements, you bring it back to development, then this gets implemented, and then you kind of do go-to-market campaigns, right? So basically, you're responsible for the collateral. What's the message to advocate these new features to customers, to the world, and. That's not so true for Oracle. I think one of the things that really excites me in database world is, like, you know, this goes back to the late 70s. And I mean, other than Larry, not that many people are around from that era anymore. But Oracle back then did a lot of things that were either before its time or when there simply was no other choice or way of doing it, conventional wisdom, I would say. So one of the nice things in Oracle is that actually the coming up with new features is really a nice collaboration between development and product management. So development just as much as their own ideas of what we need to do or should be doing, like the PMs, and we really get together and discuss it out. And of course, sometimes, you know, there's features that you may or may not agree with personally or don't see the need for. And often, actually, and much more so, you get quite amazed by what we've come up with. And we have a lot of really smart people in the work. And, you know, one thing that, like, I'd say, yeah, not to go too much into a rabbit hole, but a couple of things that I really like is, like, A, believe it or not, database development, it feels a lot like a startup. There's no fixed hierarchies as such. You know, you can only do this, you must only do this or anything like that. You can very openly approach the development leads, so even up to the SVP levels. And actually, just as we started now, one of those guys was like, hey, let's talk while I'm driving into work. I was like, yeah, sorry, I'm busy right now. So you have that going. And then also there's a lot of the product management work is very, very, there are a lot of facets to it. So it said it's not just like define the product or anything like that. I mean, that is obviously part of it, but also this evangelizing is kind of I'm doing right now, you know, speak to people kind of on a thought leadership front for data management, if you like, or kind of how to organize data and so forth. And as I said before, like one other thing that I really enjoy working in a team is like there's a couple of there's actually quite a lot of really smart people in the org that go back to the 90s and some of them even to the 80s. So I got one guy who can explain exactly how you would lay out the, you know, some bytes on disk for fastest read. And then this is like stuff that I never really kind of touched anymore in school. You know, we were already too abstract. It's like, yeah, whatever. There's some disk and it stores some stuff. Right? But I mean, you kind of get still these low level guys and some of them. One of them is just like, yeah, I helped on the C compiler back then with Kerningham. You know, it's like there wasn't like one of the guys, but was involved in it. And so anyway, you know, as you know, in the industry, people go around quite a bit. And so that has a lot going there. But yeah.
Right. So from the other perspective, I mean, Oracle is known for big database servers. I think everyone remembers like the database clusters these days. It's mostly like SunSpark, I guess. But there's also the Oracle Cloud and the database in the cloud, right?
Yeah.
So how does that play into each other?
Oh yeah, no, I mean things have changed drastically, right? I mean, traditionally starting a database kind of software in the good old 80s where you didn't even have terminal server or whatever. A client server, sorry, the first versions apparently were terminal based or something like that. It's like, again, I never saw this. They're like, yeah, there was a big client server push, you know. And obviously now there's a big push into what's cloud, and a lot of cloud is means really distributed systems. And so like, you know, like how does it play into each other? So all the database cloud services in Oracle Cloud, all the Oracle database cloud services are owned by us in development as well. So we have gone into this mode of building cloud services for Oracle Database. And of course, that's really nice because that gives us this kind of visibility into the requirements of distributed storage or distributed workloads and. And that in turn feeds back into the product. So for example, we are still one of the very few relational databases that offers you sharding on a relational model, which is, of course, I mean, to me, of course, much harder than a self-contained hierarchical model such as JSON, which you can shard way nicer, right? But once you actually split up your data across a bunch of different tables and have relations between those, sharding becomes quite more complicated. And then, of course, you know, it's like we have a lot of database know-how, but that's not to neglect that we also got MySQL, right? They do also their thing. We have good collaboration going on with them. So we have sort of quite a good, I want to say, brain power, intellectual power, in the company when it comes to accessing data and to writing data. You mentioned Spark there before. There's, of course, a lot of that going on. And quite frankly, I will say even way before cloud, the fact of accessing data that doesn't necessarily sit in a database, but analyze it or query it with SQL. You know, it's like you literally go back like 10, 12 years ago and, you know, everybody said Hadoop will kill every database and big data is the way forward. And I'm sure there was the same thing going on in the mid-2000s. I was not in the industry yet. So like, yeah, this notion of that you have data sitting somewhere else and you just want to analyze it has been around for a long, long time, actually much longer than people see it now with object store buckets and data lakes and all the good stuff.
There you go. How does that look like for customers? I mean, I can see that smaller customers won't have an issue with the cloud, but I could imagine that banks or insurances or stuff like that may actually have that, right? What does the typical cloud customer for Oracle look like? I think it may be very different from a lot of other people using Postgres or something.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of mentioned it before. I think there is, you know, are you small or are you large, right? And the SMB, small, medium business customers, the smaller ones, obviously, they're very much attracted by cloud, the fact that they don't have to stand up servers and the data centers themselves to just get their product or their services to their customers. Big guys are much more like consolidation, and you know, like the biggest customers we work with, it's, you know, really kind of like their data center costs are massive because they are massive data centers. So they are looking at a more of a cost-saving exercise. Okay, if we can lift and shift this all to cloud, you know, not only can I close down my data centers or a large portion to it, but of course also most of them actually re-leveraging their workforce. So people, especially the ops guys, are always very scared of cloud, or often very scared of cloud that will take their job away. But actually most customers are just thinking like, you know, rather than looking after whether servers running and this good stuff, maybe in 2024, we can leverage your time for something that's more important to the business or more tangible to the business, right? So they're not necessarily looking so much to just get rid of that workforce, but transforming it to, you know, take care of other tasks. A couple of years ago when we had, when we did a big push to cloud for Oracle Database, you know, when our premier database cloud service Autonomous Database came out, there was quite a big push for the DBAs to transform into something more like a data governance person. So like all the data privacy laws have creeped in quite heavily in the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. I mean, they were always there, but you know, with GDPR and all these sorts of laws, they are quite different in what they have, what they are asking from data privacy laws before. And you know, this is getting more and more and more complex, quite frankly. So there was obviously a lot of aspects of, hey, you are the guys who, you know, look after these databases, storing these terabytes and terabytes of data. It's like, and now we have these regulatory requirements, you know, where this needs to be stored, how this needs to be accessed, etc. And I much rather have you figure that out than figure out whether the backup was, you know, successfully taken or something like that. So you're looking at that angle. But yeah, so the big guys, you know, then they, I think to some extent also, very quickly get very concerned of where the data is stored, public cloud or not, right? Mm-hmm. Oracle was actually, I want to say we were either the first or definitely a forerunner of like what we called cloud a customer. So that basically you can have an Oracle cloud at your site. So you kind of reinstall Oracle cloud in your data center. So for those customers who say, this data is really, really precious, right? I mean, you always have like a spectrum, right? It's like there's a lot of data you don't care, a lot of public data that you may or may not store, reference data and so forth, right? That you have to have for your operations. And then there's actually the really sensitive data, right? Your customer confidential information and so forth. And so there's always a spectrum of like, yeah, stuff, you know, that I don't care can move quicker to cloud or whatever, right? And then, of course, the highly confidential data or competitive confidential data, right? Really don't want anybody else to get on hold of this, or it's not allowed or regulatory. Those systems then they look into a similar model where they say, well, we like this sort of subscription based model where we just pay a, you know, monthly, yearly fee per use, and still all the automation is there. It's like we still don't have to have our people looking whether the backup is successful or something. But we want it in our data center. We want to be full of control. We want to be able to basically kind of pull out the cable if we have to, and the data resides in our data center and you guys can no longer access it. Sort of that sense. I mean, that is obviously very extreme. And so this is what we call cloud a customer. So you can have an Oracle cloud environment installed in your data center. Our guys will go in there and set everything up like it is in public cloud. And
that is interesting. I didn't know that thing existed.
Yeah, it's actually gotten much bigger now. So sorry, just to finish up on that, it's like, so now we have these, I mean, even governments is this next level, right? So governments, yeah. So governments come back, right? And they go like, well, we are, you know, pick any country's government, we're not going to store our data in another country's data center. So this kind of like exploded into like even what we call government regions. So, and there's some public references out there where some governments actually have a government region of Oracle Cloud in their country.
Right.
But yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to.
No. It's all right. It's all right. It's about you, not about me. so it's interesting. I didn't know that Oracle or Oracle Cloud at customer existed. Is that probably how AWS handles all the like AWS or what is it called? Oracle at AWS or something?
No, so AWS is different, right? So AWS came out with Outposts, but that was actually years later. When you do your research, you see that Oracle had this way longer. But now I think every provider has some sort of like cloud at customer derivative. So AWS is Oracle databases and they call RDS, right? The relational database services. But I think what you're thinking of is the Microsoft Azure partnership that we did. So there's an Oracle database at Microsoft Azure. Even that has a precursor to it. So a couple of years ago, basically Microsoft and Oracle partnered up and put a fast interconnect between the two clouds. So that you kind of don't go out a public net, etc., but you could interconnect them from cloud data center to cloud data center. And they were essentially co-located in the same kind of data center buildings. I mean, massive factories, really, what they look like these days. And that's how you got this fast interconnect or kind of like buildings next to each other. That was the beginning of the partnership. And yeah, by now you actually, it was a big announcement. It's about actually, you know, Satya Nadella and Larry Ellison were up in Redmond at Microsoft. I want to say it was last year, fall, kind of September timeframe, something like that. Maybe I'm a little bit off there, but around the time where they had this joint announcement that, yeah, you can have now Oracle database in Azure. But you know, the Oracle database happens to still run on Oracle cloud infrastructure, and while this fast connect is exposed via Azure. Now, the important thing is like the whole, all the billing, all the provisioning, all the connectivity, everything you do is going through Azure. So you actually don't have to know Oracle cloud, or the fact that it runs in Oracle cloud, that is all taken care of. And that caters to the customers. We have, you know, lots and lots and lots of customers who have applications that run on a Microsoft stack, right? I mean, pick any Windows-based application that are in Azure. It's a natural fit, but happens to have an Oracle database backend. And I think that in general is something that we see in the industry right now that, you know, these clouds in the beginning kind of like became this massive monolithic islands, right? You can go into the cloud and it provides you all these services, but it was very hard to actually talk to different services between clouds. And our founder and CTO Larry Ellison thinks very highly of what he calls multi-cloud, or what we call multi-cloud. You know, it's like you should not have to kind of put all your eggs in your basket. It's literally like kind of the good old story of vendor lock-in again, just in cloud world. So yeah, you should not have to, you know, have to have one cloud provider, and that's only it. Right. And even there, we have already seen government regulations that actually say, yeah, you know, you have to be able to run at least at two clouds or whatever, right? So if one cloud provider goes out of business or down or whatever, you know, you cannot completely go out of business either. I mean, it's unlikely, but you know how the government regulations happen, right?
Right. So two very important questions. Mm-hmm. First, super, super important. How do I get an interconnect to Azure data centers to my home?
Yeah. Oh, to your home, yeah. That I don't know. Right? I know they are really expensive. There's some big pipes.
I think so. But that is the important question. The other one, I mean, sure, that's a partnership between, you said Microsoft and Oracle. Mm-hmm. So maybe I was off. But are other cloud providers on the roadmap? Is there talks? If you can talk about that. I know it's probably...
Yeah, I mean, I'm too far away to know what exactly is happening. I do know for a fact that, I mean, we get the question from customers as well all the time. And, you know, against common belief, I want to say, it's not so much us that isn't willing to play ball. It's more than the other cloud vendors. So we are definitely interested into exposing our services, especially Oracle database services on other clouds. And we're actively pursuing that. But yeah, it's like, you know, it's basically these are big corporate partnerships, right? And there's many, many people that look at that and want to have a say in that. But I hope that in some time, we reach a point where all of these clouds perhaps become interconnected, or at least it's easier, you know, to exchange information. I mean, even like this ingress egress thing is already ridiculous, I find, right? So this was another thing that Oracle did from the very early days, is like, we didn't charge for egress, right? It's like, if data goes out of your cloud, well, we don't charge you for it. And now you see other cloud vendors dropping their egress prices, either constantly going lower and lower and lower, or dropping them altogether. But, you know, customer demand will push it eventually, right?
So. Right. I think that is true. I mean, for a lot of bigger companies, it becomes very important to not be just on a single cloud provider, but to be just like failure safe, fault tolerant, whatever you want to call it. And that means sometimes you actually have to go to separate clouds, but keeping state or synchronizing state between those clouds is... Yeah, as you said, it's very, very expensive, or it gets very expensive very fast, let's say that way.
Yeah.
So, because we're pretty much running out of time already, is there any secret on the roadmap you really want to share?
Regarding cloud or in general? I mean, one thing that I should say, usually I will kind of want to say, you know, it's like, okay, Oracle database, you know, a lot of people may go, you know, it's like, this is old, this is legacy, or what can I do with it, etc. So that's all not true, right? We just kind of announced our vector support, kind of got quite heavily involved with that lately. So that's kind of new and exciting. And you will soon see a new version of Oracle Database. We announced this already at CloudWorld that has this vector support in it. So we're definitely top notch there. How do I get started with Oracle Database? This is also something that often people haven't looked for a long time anymore. So these days you can get an Oracle Database via a Docker image, or you have also this new database variation called Oracle Database Free. So you can literally just Google Oracle Database Free. It's kind of like a successor of the good old Express Edition for those people who happen to have heard of that. But too many people didn't know that Oracle Database, there was a free variant of that. And so that's why we literally put it in the name Oracle Database Free. So that's your self-contained, free to use Oracle Database. You know, it's like has certain storage restrictions, basically, and you cannot go too big as a database. But the big item is more like, it doesn't come with commercial support. So you can think a little bit of like in the open source world of Community Edition and Enterprise Edition. So, you know, it's like Oracle Database Free is the free thing that doesn't come with support. It essentially restricts itself to a certain size. And it's really meant for you to tinker around, develop, run small apps on, etc. But yeah, just Google that or go to oracle.com/database/free and you will find it there. And just give Oracle Database a go. I think you will find that we have kept up with the time. As mentioned before, you know, one of the very few relational databases that can shard on a relational model, not only on JSON or whatever. So there's certainly a lot of good things in there.
Right. So last question. What do you think is like the next big thing or the next cool thing, or even maybe it's already here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the whole AI thing that's obviously pushing heavily, and I'm kind of like old enough to have seen some hype cycles, you know, kind of completely facepalm, and I'm still young enough to be very excited. So I'm somewhere on the fence there to be like, yeah, so AI could be the next big thing, or it could just, you know, kind of once everybody realizes.
Next not big thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think right now there's nothing else on the horizon. I mean, maybe there's obviously always something coming. But I think everybody's so laser focused on AI right now that we probably don't even care to look anywhere else. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I think, you know, there's something to it. We shall see.
That's fair. I think that is probably true as well. I ask a question to everyone, and I always would have a hard time answering it myself. So I'm asking all the people to get some good answer if somebody asks me that someday.
Yes. Smart, actually. Yeah.
I know. That's what I try to be. I wanted to say what I am, but I'm not sure if I'm actually smart.
Oh, yeah.
All right. That was a pleasure. It was nice. Thank you very much for being here. I hope to see you somewhere at a conference soon again.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was really fun.
Oh no, my pleasure. And for the audience, hear you next week, or you hear me next week, next episode next week. See you.
Thanks.
The Cloud Commute Podcast is sponsored by SimplyBlock, your own elastic block storage engine for the cloud. Get higher IOPS and low predictable latency while bringing down your total cost of ownership. www.simplyblock.io